Be seated. Good evening to each one of you. Couple of announcements, just two. If you were not here last week, we handed out a little gift, a journal, to each one of the women, and we don't want you to miss out on that. So if you were not here and you didn't get one, you can, on your way out tonight at the table, you can grab one of those. And also, for those of you who, or even those of you who don't come on a regular basis, I would encourage you to do the New Year's lesson that we handed out. You can also do it online or download it. It's just, you know, it's still January, so it's still the beginning of the year. We haven't moved on yet from that. I mean, I'm getting close because once February hits, it's no longer the beginning of the year in my mind. But it's just a good lesson, and those journals kind of go along with that and explain what we're to do with those journals. So if you would like to do that, I encourage you to do that. And then also just be aware that next Wednesday evening is our church afterglow. So the men's study, the women's study, the high school, junior high kids, and anyone from our body comes into this room on Wednesday evening for a time of waiting on the Lord, listening to Him, and then the exercise with spiritual gifts. That is new to you, then come and find out what it's all about. It is not weird. It is just a great time to sit and to listen to the Lord and to be able to worship Him and hear from Him and be used by Him. It's a great time. So we won't be in Philippians next week. It'll be the following week. Okay? Philippians chapter 2 tonight. God, He gives His people both the desire and the power to live a Christ-like life. And that is such a wonderful spiritual truth. Because if we had the desire to live like Christ and did not have the power, that would be very frustrating. And if we had the power to do it, but no desire and we didn't want to, what good would that do? But He gives us both the desire and the power to live for Him. Philippians, as we began this year, this overall theme to the book is one of joy. And we've talked about how when we put Jesus first, then others, then us or you, that spells joy and true joy to have in our hearts and in our lives when Jesus is first in our lives. And then when we put ourselves way at the bottom of the list and we think about others. The beginning of chapter 2, we were learned from Paul about being others-centered and not thinking about ourselves, but putting other people before us. And living an other-centered life is not a natural thing for us. It is something that we have to deliberately choose to do each and every day, but He does give us the power to do that. And then Paul went on and he showed us Jesus and His example in being selfless and other-centered. But because we've been out of Philippians for so long, because we took our Christmas break, I'm going to start reading from verse 1 so we can just get the context. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and in those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and how we long for that day. And then for our portion tonight. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. So back to verse 12. Paul said to the Philippians, they walked with the Lord, they obeyed the Lord when he was there ministering to them. And now as he's writing this in a prison cell, he knows that they are still walking with the Lord, loving him, obeying him. And he encourages them and commends them for that. Now the last part of verse 12, we have to make sure that we don't misread that, because it doesn't say that we're to work for our salvation, but rather that we are to work out our salvation. We know that it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, that it's according to his mercy, he has saved us. We've had nothing to do with our salvation. It is his mercy and his grace. In Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not even of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Scripture never contradicts Scripture. So we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. We do not have to work for our salvation at all. So he's not saying work for your salvation. He's saying work it out, or literally to work out to its logical conclusion, or simply live it out. Live like you're saved. Live like you have eternal life. Live like your God is God, the true and the living God, and that you have eternal life, and that you have abundant life, and that you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to live this life. So live it out. Work it out. Show the world. That's what he's saying. And he also says to do it with fear and trembling. But again, that fear and trembling doesn't mean that we're afraid and we're scared and we're just, you know, afraid that, oh no, if we do something wrong, then God's going to zap us, or we're going to lose our salvation. That is not what these verses are saying at all. The word fear and trembling means a fear of misrepresenting the Lord. You know, we are ambassadors of Christ. And an ambassador is someone who represents someone. You know, our ambassadors from the United States, when they go to different countries, they are a representation of the heart and soul of our country. And it is their job to represent the country properly. And we're ambassadors of Christ. And so we need to represent him the right way and show the world how he truly is, and have a little fear and a little nervous trembling that we do it right. And it's good and it's holy to fear the Lord and to live like that. Instead of being so casual and just using the grace of God as an occasion to sin, to just be lax. No, our God is a holy God. We serve a holy God, and we want to make sure that we represent him. Then verse 13 tells us that, again, that God gives us the desire to obey and then the ability to obey by the power of his Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:3, it tells us, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. As Christians, we have been given all things that we need to live this Christian life. He is amazing in that he saves us, but he helps us. We don't have to do it all on our own. He empowers us. He's given us all things that we need, every single thing that we need to live a Christ-like life. He's given us then the power to discipline our lives and the power to use self-control and the power to stop talking when we need to stop talking and the power to share the love of Christ and everything we need, he has given us. Bill McDonald said, the Holy Spirit, and I love this, the Holy Spirit is working on your intellect, your emotions, and your will, so that when the call comes or when the command of God comes for whatever it might be, it's really what you want to do. He's already worked it all in your life so that your desire is his desire. He puts that desire in us, and we want to do his will. Verse 14 tells us not to complain, not to murmur, not to dispute, not to be argumentative or cause problems. Jesus never complained, and boy, the way he was treated, he sure could have said a lot, and he never, ever complained. Ever complained. And you know, when we stop and think about it, and I have to stop and think about this quite often, we have no reason to complain. Look how blessed we are. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. I mean, he's given us so much. Is everything perfect in your life or in this world? Absolutely not. There's imperfection all around us. People are not perfect. They're going to fail us. Things are not going to work right. And so we complain and we murmur, or maybe I should say, I complain and I murmur over things that I have no control over and that the people don't have any control over because they're sinners and they're fallen. And so he's just saying to be Christ-like, no complaining, no murmuring. Now, it doesn't mean that we can never speak up over something that's wrong or speak up and try to correct something. That's not what that's saying. We don't just shut our mouths and be a doormat the rest of our lives. It's not what that's saying. But we're not to complain against the Lord, because that's how he takes it. And that's as other people watch our lives as Christians, and they are watching our lives, then if they hear the murmuring and the complaining, then they think, well, your God's not taking care of you then. So we're not to complain or dispute over our circumstances or what he's allowed into our lives, or his provision for us. And as we mentioned before, and which we'll get to in several weeks, is that Paul was addressing a problem between two women in the church of Philippi, and perhaps there was some murmuring and complaining and disputing among them, and he's just addressing it one more time. But we are to be thankful people and to represent the Lord to those around us. And then verse 15, so that we would be blameless and harmless without fault. And in this context, we're not going to be perfect, and he is not saying that, but in the context of this complaining and disputing, that if we don't complain or dispute, then we will have nothing to be blamed for. Nobody can point their finger at us and call us a complainer or or if we're representing the Lord properly in those circumstances, when other people can look and say, boy, she would have a reason to complain, and we don't, then we're free from blame. We're not harming anyone. We want to be free from blame so that we don't hurt anyone or we don't stumble other people, because we do represent the Lord. And we do. We know that we live in a very, very crooked and perverse world. Nobody has to tell us that. We just look around and we know. And we need to shine our lights, as he's telling us, to shine our lights in this world and hold fast to the word of life. Hold fast to the truth and live like we believe the truth. Just as Paul, and he gives himself as an example again, that he certainly could have complained in his current situation as he was writing this in prison, but he doesn't. He held fast to the word of life. He held fast to the truth. He didn't compromise at all. He didn't complain, and he represented Christ. Now back to verse 13. Because that's where my heart is tonight. It is God who works in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I have always liked that. But a question that we have to ask is then, what is his good pleasure? What is God's good pleasure for our lives? Well, it is for us to be like his son. And he is conforming us into the image of his son. And this Christian walk, this Christian life that we have, it is a continual conforming process. He continues to work in us to remove everything that is not like his son. And then he continues to work in us to then put in those things and work those things into our lives that are like his son, that are like Jesus. And that's our Christian walk, our Christian life, where we go through the valleys and on the mountains and out in the desert and, you know, all these places in our walks with the Lord. And we learn so much as he is working in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Remember, like Bill said, he's working on our intellect, our emotions, our wills, to get us to that place that when that command comes, that call comes, we just, well, yes, 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 that's exactly what I wanted to do. And have you ever experienced that in the Lord, where maybe several years ago you said, no, no way, no way, I can't see myself doing that, I can't get there, and then your heart, just little by little, your heart changes and your desire changes, and you like actually are wanting to do that, and then you do it, and you actually like enjoy doing it. It's because he's worked in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And it's just a wonderful thing. God does his part. He's constantly working. But we do have a part too. We don't have a part in our salvation, but we have a part in our growth. And we need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, with his work in our lives, so that we, number one, surrender and live a life of surrender and continue to walk in surrender. And then in obedience and being willing and stepping out in faith and choosing that surrender every single day. It's not a one-time thing. Don't you wish it was a one-time thing? But it's not, because some days you surrender to the Lord. Oh, and it just feels so good, and you're so happy and just so wonderful. And then I don't know what happens, but the next day, or perhaps that afternoon, everything within you has changed, every feeling, everything. And you no longer want to surrender or to do that thing at all. Ugh. But we need to choose to obey. Choose to walk in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And I need to be reminded of that every single day. Karen, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Say no to your flesh and yes to the Lord so that you don't fulfill the lusts of your flesh. And we need to choose to live our lives in such a way that we are true ambassadors of Christ, that He does shine through us. And His character traits and the fruit of the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit would flow through our lives. So I have a question to pose to you tonight, and I have certainly been mulling this over, and do actually quite often. But is there an area in your life tonight that you are lacking in not being like Jesus? Now, I already know the answer, and that is yes, of course, because we're not perfect, and there's always, always an area. But are you really aware of it, aware of that area? Is there something that the Lord has been speaking to you or showing you that you're not like His Son, that you have fallen back? And I'm not talking about backsliding away from Him, but you've fallen in that area. You've let that area go. You haven't been on guard in that one particular area or that two or three or four particular areas. Is there some area that you know He's been speaking to you that you need to grow? It's time. It's time. It's just time to move on. You've been there too long, and it's time to grow. You know, I believe that the Lord shows us those things all the time because that's part of the conforming process. It's part of Him refining our lives. He speaks His love into our lives. He speaks His encouragement and all of those things. But He also speaks to us as a loving Father to correct us and to, you know, whisper in our ears, "That wasn't nice." Or, "Ooh, that's a wrong attitude," or whatever it might be. And because we have a relationship with Him, and it is a relationship, and He is alive, and the relationship is alive, and it should be growing, and it should be current, always current with the Lord. Because the Lord continues to work. You know, it's like the stream. You know, He continues to work, and when we stop cooperating, you know, we get farther apart from Him. It needs to be current, a daily relationship with Him, a daily communing with Him, because we want to please the heart of the Lord. And He enjoys that fellowship with us. He loves us. And He loves to talk with us. And He loves to tell us things, and He loves to hear it when we obey. We say, "That's right. Okay, yes, I will, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I'm going to take that step and do this or that," or whatever it might be. A regular prayer I think that we should all pray is from Psalm 139, and perhaps you do. And that is, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." I pray that almost every day because I don't want to be blinded by anything. And I know that I can be. I can think that I'm doing okay. Or I can think, well, I can maybe skate in this area or whatever. And I want the Lord to show me, as painful as that might be, and it is a lot of the time, but I want Him to show me. And it's not like every day He shows me this big thing, but there are times where I'll pray that, and he's really not showing me anything, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm really not listening. Maybe I'm really, you know, kind of, I have to trust that you are God, and you will show me. You will reveal this to me if there is some area that needs to be addressed right now. And then there are other times I pray that, and he immediately shows me an area. Now, or later in the day, or through another person, or through something I read later, whatever it might be. But is there an area in your life? And, you know, perhaps if you did your homework that last week when it asked about looking ahead to this year and what do you want the Lord to do in your life? Maybe he already showed you, and maybe it's some of those areas he wants to work on. So, and if he hasn't, look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, self-control, gentleness, faithfulness. Is there one of those character traits, or two, or three, or whatever it might be, that I'm lacking? And I need the Lord to work in my life. And if he has shown you, or if he will show you when you ask him, is there a verse that comes to your mind that he shows you, that you remember, that goes along with that particular area in your life? And a lot of times he will do that. I mean, he does that in my life. He always speaks to me through his word and brings a scripture to my mind to reinforce what he's telling me, and then something that I can fall back on. And then I start praying that scripture for my life. And I know that I'm praying within his will, again, because it's his word, and he will work. So also in this area, then, what practical way can you then work that out? As you work out your salvation, it's part of it, this area, how can you work that out? Whatever it might be, there's going to be practical steps. Oh, I'm going to need to stop doing this, or stop going there, or I need to do this thing now, or, you know, whatever it might be. He will show you, because it's God's will that you grow in this area and that you cooperate with his Spirit, and he will work in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He is going to give you even the desire to want him to work in this area, and then the power to overcome and to grow. And are you willing then in this area to share that with somebody? To share it with a friend, or maybe the ladies in your group? Not that you open up your soul and just, but this is the area I need work on, and this is what the Lord's been speaking to me. This is the verse. Would you pray for me concerning that? That the Lord has really, in my life, made this a priority, is to pray. I need the prayer in that, and to pray for other people in that kind of a way. I think it is so important. We pray, we're praying people, we're Christians, we pray. We pray for things, don't we pray for things? We pray for things in our lives. We pray for circumstances in our lives, don't we? We pray, oh Lord, I don't want this and this, and we're going to buy a house and a car and shoes or whatever it might be. And maybe we're talking to him about all these things, or my arm hurts, or, you know, whatever it might be. But how much more do we need to get to the soul, to the spirit? What is that need? That's the greatest need. And ask somebody to pray for that. Not that you can't ask about the other things. I'm not saying that, but I'm focusing on just the guts, the inner man, that spiritual life that is the most important thing. Who cares about the other stuff? Let's work on the heart. And I need prayer for that. You need prayer for that. And again, we don't have to share it all, but you just share that one thing. One of my areas right now, I'll tell you this, what we do is for our group leaders that we have on Wednesday evenings, I ask them for their prayer request each month. And we pray for a month for each other. Give me your prayer request, and then we pray for that. And it's just, they don't tell me anything. I don't, you know, there's no details. They're just this, 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 and this. And we have committed to pray for one another in that way. And this month, one of my areas, I always have lots, but one of my areas is that I have found that I am, well, let me tell you this, not to answer a matter before I hear it. Proverbs, he gave me a verse for this. Proverbs says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame to him. And my mind tends to work really fast. So when I'm listening, and it doesn't matter, it doesn't need to be with some heavy thing. It could be just some trivial thing that you're telling me, or that my family is, or whatever. I've already come to the conclusion. I've got it. That's enough. And that's rude. And it's a shame because I haven't heard all the facts. But when my mind starts going, and I think I do, and they keep talking to finish, if I listen, it's like, whoa, okay. I obviously didn't get that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that happens to you. But I don't want to jump to conclusions. So Lord, help me not to answer a matter before I hear it. Please, I need that help. And then also, which goes right along with that, is that I would listen more and talk less. And James has a scripture for me. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Lord, help me be swift to hear and not answer till I hear it all. Then I hear from you. Then I talk. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? that's what I want for January. Not that it's going to be perfected or anything, but that is a simple request and an easy thing for you to pray for me or for me to pray for you on that. And if we get in the habit of doing that in our lives among a prayer partner or our groups or friends or whatever it is, do you know how much we'll grow this year because of that and because when we're praying for each other like that? I absolutely love that. So I want to do something very quickly before you do go into groups. And if you're not comfortable with this, you don't have to do it, okay? But that is, if you have that area that we're just going to turn into groups of three, no more than three, and it's not discussion, it's not telling all about it, but I would simply say, okay, Joni, I don't want to answer a matter before I hear it, so would you pray for me concerning that, that I would not jump to conclusions, and then Joni will pray for me. So would you be willing to do that tonight? Just turn into groups of three. It just helps, I think. If you're not comfortable with it again, then you don't have to do that. Okay? If you're not comfortable with it, but you want prayer for that, come down here and I will pray for you. We won't talk about it. We'll just pray. Okay? So let's do that. And there's only going to be three in a group, so it's going to be really quick. And then we'll break into our regular discussion groups. Okay?